The date is October 21st, 2005, and we are watching Doom. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me for the last video game movie of the month, my summer co-host, the Sarge, to my John Grimm.
Welcome to your doom.
Nice. Nice.
I am Aaron Knowles. Hello.
So this week, we are looking back at October 2005, when the movies and theaters were The Weatherman, The Fog, Domino. One that I always like pointing out whenever it comes up in a chance to mention this one, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Love that movie. I'll throw in a bonus. This was another one of those movies that I always recommend when I get a chance. Waiting. The Ryan Reynolds classic, Waiting.
So angry.
Batwing, bitch. And of course, our movie for today, Doom, which earned $58 million on a $60 million budget. Oh, so close.
So close.
So very close.
Literally $1.3 million off. Yeah. That's so sad.
You guys, I mean, it's chipping some of your salary in.
Exactly. Those are rookie numbers.
That's why The Rock now brands himself with, like, just buying theaters out and giving them away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm just assuming. I'm guessing. I've heard he does that.
Oh, well. Well, Sean, get your ass to Mars. Thanks, Arnold, because if you recall, this is where we say, you know, that was a joke, if you recall, because get your ass to Moss. Anyway, this is where we say spoiler alert. Listen, not all of my jokes can land.
Yeah, okay. Well, do you want me to put in
a laugh track?
A rim shot and add laugh track? Yeah. I can throw some of that in. Yeah, we'll make it hit. We'll make it hit. So I've got only two taglines this week for this movie. The first one, no one gets out alive.
Well, that's just inaccurate.
That is true. Yeah, at least one person does. Yeah. Well, the second one, I guess maybe more accurate, hell breaks loose.
Yeah, it works.
Yep. But not very good descriptions of the movie, so no. Let's go to Aaron and let's get a 60-second synopsis.
All right, Sean. Two words. Ultimate guilty pleasure. I'm just kidding.
Is there a hyphenate there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Much like my kill count on Doom 64, which my Doom count was constantly inaccurate, that's three words. Carl Urban and Dwayne Johnson, when he was still as hard as The Rock, when he was still known as The Rock, lead this funny, not-so-gory romp down a less-than-accurate gaming nostalgia lane. Dwayne Johnson leads a group of Marines, who mostly seem like criminals, through a portal discovered deep below the Nevada desert to a lab and dig site on Mars. Sound familiar? Yeah, pretty much every Doom game out there. But that might be where the plot really loses any connectivity to the game, okay? The team encounters undead scientists, freakishly large monsters with appendectomy scars, a lot of badly lit hallways. You'd think they'd learn by now that in the future they need more well-lit hallways. And then you have The Rock playing while The Rock. Until he evil hulks out, because he's just a dick in this movie. And not, you know, literally a dick, but he does kind of look like a giant dick. And he and Carl Urban on steroids go hand-to-hand, or hand-to-claw, or hand-to-metal bar. I don't even know anymore. There's just a lot of, you know, knuckle sandwiches being thrown around. But now that I think of it, Carl Urban actually looks a lot like Judge Dredd. I'm just kidding. I know it's him. And I am the Doom. I mean, I am the law. Enjoy. Mars out.
Nice. Right on. So yeah, Doom. I have to admit, I wasn't a huge Doom player. I have dabbled in Doom, but because Doom was so big on PC, I've never been a person that's owned his own computer growing up. Like, I spent a long period of my time without any computer whatsoever, and so that's always where Doom was best known. I played it a bit on the 64, but it's like, you know, it couldn't keep up. You know, that particular system could not really keep up with Doom, but I'm kind of familiar with Doom. So when the movie came out, it was like, oh, okay, cool, they're going to do the thing. And there was that 10-minute point in the movie where they did the thing, and it was kind of cool. And, you know, it's a movie I watched a couple times and then just forgot about. And so that's my history with Doom. So, Aaron...
Yeah. I'm excited to hear how you felt about it this time.
Yeah, well,
you know, whether you didn't, you know, you used to not like it, or if you like it now. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So you start your 60-second synopsis off with your two words of ultimate guilty pleasure. What is your history with Doom? Tell me about your love for this movie.
Well, I say ultimate guilty pleasure because I think that a lot of people can. This is one of those popcorn flicks. This is one of those ones that you can just go into with very low expectations and just kind of have fun with it. So I feel like a lot of people could have this movie on their ultimate guilty like pleasure list, or at least somewhat of a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I've, as a kid, I'm gonna let you know right now, I was a huge weenie. Like, I didn't play bloody violent games. They scared me. I thought this was terrifying because it was like, I don't know, maybe as a young kid I had a lot of anxiety, whatever. I just could not play Doom. It was too much.
Yeah.
I know I tried many, many times. It just never really, like, you know, didn't really end up being anything that I really enjoyed. And, you know, fast forward years later and all of a sudden just I love first person shooters. I love Halo. I love Doom. The Swarm in Halo scare, or the Flood. They scare the shit out of me still. E.T. scares me. So I'm still a big baby. Okay. But, you know, I can suspend what I'm afraid of to, like, enjoy something.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies, just like the game, that I can kind of put, I can put that aside. I can put aside that it's stupid in a lot of ways, but it's still, like, a fun watch. And I think that there's, you know, we'll talk about the FPS scene later on. And I love that. I love that this movie does not take itself too seriously. Again, we'll get into all that, but this is just one of those movies that when I first, like, really started getting into, like, sci-fi films, and obviously Carl Urban, love him as an actor, The Rock, he was hot and huge when this movie came out. So he was more than Carl Urban. The Rock was more of the selling point for this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then everybody found out he was a bad guy, but I just thought it was a fun movie, and I've always wanted, like, a sequel. You know, there's been some like
rumbling
streaming,
Rumblings of it. I thought,
so, like, there's like Doom Annihilation, I think it is, or Doom, like, there's one that's like a live action one that came out not too long ago on Netflix. Before that and after this one, there was like a CGI one that came out.
Okay,
you know, so there's been some follow ons, and again, they're not great. They're nothing that's going to win any awards, much like this one, but definitely enjoyable, especially if you're like a Doom fan.
Yeah,
you know, I think out of any fandom that had a movie created out of its game, Doom is like the least to disappoint.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. And I mean, it's not a real thinker, I guess. And they do kind of structure the movie itself like a video game, I noticed.
You know,
it's, yeah, well, let's jump into Doom. I mean, you know, like, I never really got into first-person shooters, I want to say, too, is that for some reason, I never followed that one. I was busy wasting my time on Tony Hawk, you know, so they never made a Tony Hawk movie. They need a Tony Hawk Underground movie. Okay, so
they do. They actually, I feel like they're probably working on that still.
Yeah, yeah. He can still do the 900. I saw it. So directed by Andre Bartowiak. He's the guy that directed Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li. And also, oh. like, Romeo Must Die and Exit Wounds and Cradle oh to God. The Grave. So he likes working with rappers and...
and Low Expectations, apparently.
So it's produced by Lorenzo Di Bonaventura and John Wells. Oh, so close. And written by Dave Callahan. I'm having trouble with these today. What the hell? he's the guy that wrote Zombieland, Double Tap, and Shang-Chi. Oh. And
well, he obviously got better.
And Into the Spider-Verse and the new Mortal Kombat. Yeah. And Wonder Woman 1984. So,
oh, they yeah, all can't be winners.
They can't all be winners. Yeah.
Oh, man. And this guy's either hot, or fucking cold.
And the other writer, Wesley Strick, who worked on Cape Fear and Arachnophobia and The Saint. There's a few of his credits.
Oh, man. The Saint, another guilty pleasure of mine. Val Kilmer.
Yeah. That's a good one.
based off an old, you know, much like the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible turned into a blockbuster hit franchise, mm-hmm. The Saint was based off of another show, and that Roger went fucking Moore nowhere.
Yeah,
it Roger went nowhere.
Yeah, and it was also, I mean, this was a trend at that time. If you remember, when you'd have movies like Armageddon and Deep Impact, so you had the two asteroids.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you either had the Saint or the Jackal. Those were
yes.
Bruce Willis's the Jackal was the one that went up against the Saint. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was just always that trend of, oh, if you make this one, you got to make a similar one like this. Yeah.
That's funny.
So. Okay, so the movie opens, and it's 2026, so is this supposed to take place in 2026, or is all the stuff later on, is that like 20 years later or something like that?
That's a valid argument, actually. Is 2026 the flat? Well, hold on. Well, hey, so are we going to go over the cast?
Well, okay, I mean, yeah, so, sure, let's do it. Let's go right into the cast.
But your question is still valid, and it's going to bother me now.
Okay.
It's going to bother me. But let's do the cast real quick so we can get to this question. That is really going to bother me. Oh, my God. So this is a pretty good cast, right? You know, Dwayne Johnson as Sarge.
Yeah.
Right? Just, that's all he's known as.
Yeah, just Sarge.
Sarge.
That's all you need.
All right? That's all you need. So Carl Urban, his name in the movie is John Grimm, but they call him Reaper.
Reaper. It's a good one.
It is a good one. I'd love to have that nickname.
Yeah.
then you got
solid. Yeah.
It is a solid nickname, right? Yeah. Rosamund Pike, you know, she's from I want to say let's look at her and what she's been in, cuz she's been in some good stuff. Gone Girl, Die Another Day, Wheel of Time, I Care a Lot. Did you happen to see that movie, I Care a Lot?
No, I don't know I Care
so,
a Lot.
It's about a woman who basically scams, like, elderly people and puts them in, like, old folks' home and, like, basically sells all their stuff, their house, and, like, just, you know, says, oh, we're going to pay for your home and your living facility, but we're going to sell everything else. And then they just collect the benefit. But they don't sell it, or they'll, like, rent it out. Or basically they turn old people's, like livelihoods into their income. Her income. And it's pretty crazy. If you ever get a chance, highly recommend that film. But yeah, she's a great actress.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And
she plays...
She's pretty cute, too.
Yes.
She's easy on the eyes. Yeah.
She plays John Grimm, Carl Urban character's sister.
Yeah,
so
Other Reaper?
Sister Reaper?
Yeah. I mean, I do like Grimm Reaper. Like, come on. It's right there.
Absolutely.
They took it.
Not miss that opportunity.
They did not.
You got Diobia Oparai as Destroyer, so he's like the big, he's like the tank of the team, so to speak. Ben Daniels as Goat.
Now, is that supposed to be greatest of all time? Like, is that why he's called Goat? Is he supposed to be the greatest, or do you think the whole Goat phenomenon came around later than this movie?
I want to say it's because he is like the religious guy, and like the goat was always like kind of sacrificed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see, because, yeah, it's in the last 5 years is when you hear goat as greatest of all time.
Yeah, that's right? like a new thing.
It is a new thing, yeah. Okay, I'm making sure that I wasn't just out of the loop when I was younger. Okay, that's a millennial trend. that's what the TikTokers are doing these days. Is
them
there...
damn kids, get off my lawn!
Pull
You're
up your
goat.
Pants!
Yes.
Fuck.
You go be a goat somewhere else. Thanks, yeah. mister. Razak Adoti as Duke?
Duke. You always have to have a Duke.
You gotta have a Duke.
G.I. Joe has a Duke. Predator has a Duke. I mean, you just gotta have a Duke.
Earl has a Duke?
Yeah. Duke.
Richard Brake, probably one of the more annoying characters of this entire movie, played Portman. Not even a nickname, just Portman, because he's an asshole. He doesn't deserve a nickname.
That's right.
That's you got you Al Weaver as the kid, who's kind of the rookie on the team.
The one that's, of course, going to freak out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's really about it. You know, everybody else is kind of just like, meh.
I mean, shout out. Another one of those people you always got to shout out when they're in a movie. Doug Jones.
Yes.
Does do some creature work in this movie. If you need some creature work, you call Doug Jones or Andy Serkis. I mean, that's what you do.
Or the last guy, Berryman, who's like the weird looking dude from Double Dragon.
Oh, yeah, yes. That guy, too. Yeah.
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 So that's kind of the crew, the whole, the cast, I mean. So not bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a small elite team going to a laboratory on Mars. Many people are faceless, except for the important people. So who cares about the rest?
There you go. Yeah. Okay, so we open the movie. We see stars, and it says it's a 2026 archaeologist in the Nevada desert discover a portal to Mars, and they call it the Ark. And then that's where I wonder, when is the rest of the movie set?
Yeah.
Is the movie set in 2026? So is this 3 years from now that we discover this and get all this technology going? Or is it like that's when
I
it
would
happened
say,
and
yeah.
this is the result of it many years later?
Yes. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the fact that it was discovered in 2026. So in 3 years, we're going to discover a portal to Mars underneath the Nevada desert. And remind you, this is after we discovered that Dracula is actually in Syria.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blade Trinity, and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And then you know, however, we're going to say 30-ish years after that, you know, Carl Urban's going to save, you know, like two people on Mars.
So, you know, he's being born about the time that this Ark is being discovered.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go.
Seems legit, right?
Yeah. 30 years. 30 years, folks. That's all you got left. 33 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as always, I love a transition from the production company into the movie. And here we get the Universal logo turning to Mars. And I'm like, damn straight you are. And then you see where half of the $60 million budget went is in this shot. Turning when it turns into Mars and it like flies down to Mars and through the vents and into the fucking facility in the opening, and it's like, okay, so this is
that,
what we're doing with this movie.
That was Here good go. Production quality.
Yeah,
like that was very cool to watch.
They put a couple of extra dollars into the opening and said, yes that was worth it.
We're just gonna front load this month. Wow them at the beginning and then let them fall asleep. They'll never know what hit them.
Oh boy. I love it. The establishing shot but we're like right into this movie. They hit it with you up front. It's like Dawn of the Dead. The
yes.
Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead, where it just hits you in the first 10 minutes, where that whole Sarah Pauly scene happens, and you're like, holy shit, That was the first 10 minutes of this movie, was all that intense shit. That's what you got going on here. You got people in lab coats being, like, hunted in the dark
hunted
hallways.
Hunted down, yeah. Again, dark hallways.
Dark hallways.
We've never learned.
Steel grates and dark hallways.
At this point, if you're going to make any kind of science outpost on another planet, just make the scientists bioluminescent.
Yeah.
End of story. You're going to solve half your problems.
It'll help.
Yes.
Wouldn't hurt. I don't see anything wrong with it.
And worst case scenario, if they turn into a creature, now you can see the creature because they can't hide in those dark vents that you'll eventually forget that you built.
Yeah. I don't know. Star Trek, you know, the Federation ended up getting it right. Right? You know, when they do the earlier Star Treks, it's like it's still steel grates and everything like that. But then they end up carpeting that.
Yeah.
Got to make it plush.
Yeah. Especially when you got to crawl through the ductwork.
Yeah. Why fly around in, like, this shitty environment? And light it up.
Thank you.
You got to light it up.
Thank you.
Hashtag more lights in scientists'
hallways. Hashtag bioluminescent scientists.
There it is. Yes. Start a trend.
Oh yeah. So we got the scientists being hunted down, and that's kind of that's over pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They're just getting pulled out of the chase left and right by an unknown entity. Ooh, it's spooky. Gotta love it. Yeah, and then you got the one Dr. Carmack, who is the one that survives. He has to cut off his assistant's arm because he has to close that fucking door. Yeah. He saves himself, and then that becomes like his Wilson of the movie. Wilson!
It really does.
Yeah. But yeah, he's got to make that video about how, you know, something's gone wrong. And there we go, Doom. We're into Doom, and we get to, like, meet all our badassiest of badasses, you know, just hanging around being as badass as possible, and just a whole bunch of walking cliches in an action movie.
The thing that always bothered me, though, about that is that, you know, this movie, okay, are you a Sam Raimi fan?
Yeah, somewhat. Like, I'm not obsessed like some people are. I dig his style at times.
Imagine if this movie, especially with like that beginning scene, because it's all like everybody's running through the hallways. Imagine if it had been done by Sam Raimi.
Yeah. Okay.
Very Evil Dead-esque. Yeah. I feel like that would have given it a little bit more flair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, then we move to the Marines base, their barracks room. You know, you got these guys are all getting ready for shore leave, and you got your toxic masculinity of, you know, somebody, they're all talking about getting laid and meeting women, and you got
not a single token chick in this squad. Like, yes. There's not even a Michelle Rodriguez in this squad.
True.
Yeah.
That's very true. And you have nobody else that could, like, I don't know. I'm kind of glad with the time frame that this movie came out and, like, the dialogue that they wrote into it. I'm kind of glad that they didn't have a female Marine. Because it just would have been weird.
Yeah.
You know? This isn't, like, a... Oh, God.
Yeah, but you always see those chicks where it's like, yeah, suck my dick, Duke. Come on. You know, like...
True. Yeah, I just recently watched Edge of Tomorrow, like Live, Die, Repeat again with, like, Tom Cruise. And they had that one girl in there. She's, like, eating the playing cards, and she's very rough. And, yeah, no, I do enjoy when they had those. But, like, that was a different, I don't know, environment.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like... Especially with guys like Portman and the shit that he's talking about. He's like, oh, gotta go find me two lady boys. I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but like, I guess Starship Troopers around the same time, they had like co-ed showers.
That's true. Have you ever read Starship Troopers?
I've never read it, no.
It is, so it's based off of a Robert A. Heinlein book from like back in like 1965. If you like to read, I highly recommend Starship Troopers. It's an amazing book. Okay. Nothing like the movie. Huh. Nothing.
Wow.
Great book. Anyway.
This has been Book Corner with Sean and Eric.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I Can Fly Twice as High.
See, he's not given enough credit. I've seen a meme going around where it's like, this man is not given enough credit for my childhood. And it's like, that's true.
He is not.
That's true.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
Geordi LaForge.
He promoted literacy. And I vividly remember the episode of Reading Rainbow where he showed how the Enterprise special effects were done for Star Trek.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, we just need to bring back Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
And end of story. Let's bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. So yeah, we meet the assholes that are this squad of Marines, including, you know, who we apparently think is the good guy of this movie, which is Dwayne Johnson as Sarge.
He's not Dwayne Johnson in this movie.
Fine, as The Rock.
Yeah,
as The Rock.
The Rock as Sarge. Yeah.
Was this movie made by like WWE? Is this like one of those?
I don't think it is. No.
Okay.
No, but I think this is one where he was still in the WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Rundown, I think, had some... I think Vince McMahon was, like, an executive producer on the Rundown, if I remember correctly. But maybe even Walking Tall. But, yeah. No, this was before he was even Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Because there's at least one movie where he's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one, it his credit was The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah.
And they own that. They own your ass.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So The Rock comes in. Sarge comes in, tells the squad, hey, shore leave's been canceled. Everybody's pissed off. Understandably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been several months. Now, we also find out that the mission is to Mars. And guess what? Sarge is trying to bench Reaper because he doesn't want him to get distracted because Mars is where his family died, his parents,
mm-hmm.
and he and his sister were left orphaned?
I guess so. Solid yeah. origin story. Yeah.
Yeah, solid origin story. Yeah, orphaned on Mars. Like, that's an origin story. I was orphaned on Mars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hard one to come back from.
Yeah. He should be running that squad.
Yeah.
With an origin story like where did The Rock come from? Like, why is he so big? Why is he such a dickhead? Like, what did he do? We don't get any backstory on him.
No. He's just there. He's just Sarge.
Just know that if you're going to watch this movie, which I highly recommend, and I will recommend it again, and you'll find out why at the end, that you understand that there are no other backstories other than the Grimms.
Yeah.
Nobody else gets a backstory. Nobody!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. That's my tangent. All right. So the mission's on.
Yeah, and we get to meet everybody immediately because they have to all give us their handle IDs. Right? So it's just...
Oh,
it's...
yeah.
So it's that easy that now we know who everybody is right off the bat. There you go. You don't have to know.
That was a pretty cool, that was a pretty good, like, gag, like, shtick.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So every time they pick up their weapon, the weapon says it registers its user. And, yeah, so it gives everybody's nickname.
Yeah.
The Kid. The Kid? What? Yeah. Reaper.
Handle ID. Sarge. Yeah.
That was pretty badass. I like that. I wish every time I picked up a gun, it was like, this asshole.
And that's where I started to feel with this movie that, okay, he's trying to make it like a video game.
Yeah.
Because if you were doing like some multiplayer video game system, you know, like the name would be down in the corner and it's like, okay.
Yeah, it'd be like, that's basically, it's like a character selection screen.
Yeah, a new player has entered. Handle ID, The Kid. Yeah.
Select your loadout.
And so, yeah, they get to Mars. They have to go to Mars. So what do you think? Art travel? Fun?
Well, so when they get to the Ark travel, they talk to one of the guys. So remind me, maybe you remember, because did they talk to Pinky? So did they talk to him after he got there or before he got there?
They talked to Pinky when they got there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he traveled with them.
Okay.
Yeah, but he wasn't anywhere else before that, though.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, so arc travel, definitely not fun, especially if I lose the lower half of my body, like Pinky. So, if you remember, like, in the game, so, like, Pinkies are these characters that have, like, horns, and they kind of, like, almost, like, they're, like, bull-type characters. Well, they'll charge you.
Okay.
And they have a really, like, basically their back end is more of their vulnerable side, so you have to wait till they charge you, dodge, and then shoot their backside.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of where they got the idea to call him Pinky, because obviously he lost his ass.
Okay. Huh. Well, that's kind of cruel if you know that Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of Pinky, yeah. Is it a fun way to travel? I don't know. Would you take a chance on an arc travel to Mars?
Probably. I think I'd take the chance.
Yeah?
Yeah. At least in the future, they could still keep me alive, you know?
Yeah.
I'll get a cool set of wheels. No yeah. penis, but I'll get a cool set of wheels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, recent things in the world have told me that I don't know if I want to take a high risk adventure to somewhere anymore. You know, like,
I'm safe here.
The space travel, it was fun there for a while, but deep sea exploration should be left to the experts and James Cameron. Oh my God,
are we going to have this conversation?
No,
it was it was a home built sub. It was literally made out of Legos and old microwaves. Like, the fact that they had to sign all that paperwork just to go down into the, like, depths of the ocean, like, that should have been a red flag. There was so many... That submarine was red flag shaped, okay? End of story.
Okay, even with the throwing up and the vertigo and everything from arc travel.
Basically morning sickness.
Yeah, you'd still be into an arc travel? Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, why not Mars? Why not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's, you know, it's a equivalent exchange. You can't get somewhere quickly without feeling shitty, you know?
Yeah. Just as long as you don't have to give your ass for it.
Exactly. Which I will never do. Yeah, so they use the arc to reach Mars. The Earth side of the arc travel terminal, I guess, is locked down. You know, we meet Reaper's twin sister.
Like the Arc Central Station.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I like how they play around with our emotions at first, thinking maybe she's like an ex-wife or something.
Yes, that was a good like little teaser. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, not his wife. Sam Grimm is his sister. So. Yay.
Twin sister, but I'm glad that, you know, it's definitely no resemblance. You know, there's sometimes that you can have a brother sister that look eerily alike, you know, like the brother, it's like, oh, if you grew your hair out, you'd look like your sister.
Yeah, you're basically in love with both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. We find out that the sister has been working on the same dig site that killed their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Shocking twist.
Yeah, and then, so that's the reason, actually, because, again, we talked about the backstory, that's the reason that Grimm, I believe that's why he went and joined the Marines, you know, because he was supposed to be a doctor, he's, like, super smart, and that kind of shows, like, when as he's interacting with a lot of the other characters, things going on at the lab.
We then get our video game story plot set up.
Yes.
Right? They have to collect data from three different places.
And it's objectives.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. with only one entrance in and one entrance out, and it's like, okay, here we go. Here's the video game.
Yep. Yeah. Because, and then what is all of the data is on, I guess, the remains of like a humanoid, a genetically enhanced humanoid that they found at the dig site.
Uh-huh.
But I think that they would have to have more than just that research, because they're doing like weapons testing up there, because, you know, Sarge finds the BFG,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have like the other kennels, and then they have like all that
see,
stuff.
Now with BFG, I don't remember what the B stands for, but F is fan service, right? It's the big fan service gun is what he finds,
Exactly, yes.
which really serves absolutely no purpose whatsoever in this movie. Like, it never at any point actually results in a positive outcome.
Yes, exactly. It's just purely fan service.
Purely fan service.
Purely. The coolest thing that I've ever seen, though, was there was a guy who actually built, like, a replica of the BFG from this movie, but made it as a PC case. So there's, like, a PC inside of it.
Wow, neat.
It's so cool. So cool. Yeah. Not only do they have to find the data, but they also have to search for survivors.
Yeah, they have to find Dr.
the missing
Carmack.
Scientists. Yeah. Yes. And get a head count, which, you know, is a little difficult because they're no longer human. What was it? They find Dr. Carmack, who's been injured and traumatized.
Yeah, he's in rough shape, carrying around his arm like it's a whole person, and and he pulls his ear off and shit. Ooh. Like, it's, yeah.
I once heard a quote, and the quote said, like, stop crying, because crying is for little girls and men who have just had their ears ripped off.
Okay. And yeah. Who's the quote from? Like, Van Gogh?
No. I want to say it was
Evander Holyfield.
Obi Thumb Kenobi in the movie Thumb Wars.
Oh. Wow. Good yes. pull. I do love the line though of, well, now let's see if we can find the body that goes with that arm.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's true. You gotta find that body. It's missing. There used to be a body attached to that arm at one point.
There's a certain equation of bodies per arm, arms. Right now, math ain't mathin'.
It's not matching up. The numbers do not add up. So, meanwhile, we've got the one sketchy guy. That's Portman, right? And
yep.
And the kid goes to him looking for some drugs.
Yep, his special jelly beans.
Yeah, his special jelly beans. So, you know, we know that this is going to turn out badly. You've got the crazy guy and the kid conspiring. Yeah, that's not going to go well.
At this point, I want to say it's Dr. Carmack is gone. He's ran off. Or no, he was like dead in the lab or something because he ripped his ear off.
Yeah, well, he was being like taken care of in the lab. He was still kind of alive.
Kind of, yeah. But
then
at some point,
he was mid-change, maybe.
Yes, and he disappeared.
We also have the guy that carves a cross into his arm because he took the Lord's name in vain.
Yes, that's Goat.
That's Goat.
Goat is the scary religious guy.
Yeah.
We all know one of those.
Yeah.
And when he takes the Lord's name in vain, he cuts a crucifix into his arm, and it's just a little weird. But we love him for his lovely personality. Yeah. You know? So after Carmack disappears, the Marines are then actually attacked, I want to say, by their first, like, real creature in the sewer.
I guess so. I mean, do they find the room full of slaughtered animals first? The room that they have just cleared that was full of live animals a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Yes, they find instead just bloody cages. And that's when they start coming across the monster, I think, and they end up having to... They chase it into the sewers. And Portman falls in the hole in the sewers. And then Goat is the first to bite it because you have to have faulty equipment. At least one of your people in a movie has to die while they're banging on the side of a flashlight. Like, that's it's a rule.
Even in the future, flashlights are not waterproof.
That's right. You take care of your equipment. Can't ever trust a flashlight in a fucking horror movie. God. So, you know, and then we got, is it Portman that starts freaking out that we need reinforcements? And Sarge is all like, we are the reinforcements. Now shoulder your fucking weapon, soldier.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
If, again, I want to compare this to very much like, I know I haven't just yet, but the entire time I've been thinking this, it almost parallels Aliens. Like,
yes, it does.
It's just Aliens 2, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah. And
game over, man. Game over.
Exactly. I was gonna say Portman is like a more annoying Bill Paxton as Hudson, and he's basically just starts screaming, "We need backup. Why aren't we calling backup? We should escape." Shut the fuck up, Portman. You know, you got the Rock who's yelling at him, and then you know he tries to go to the bathroom to try and call for reinforcements at this point, or is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've got the people hiding in the nanowall place.
Mm.
And so they is this the point too where they catch the creature in the nanowall and realize that it's Dr. what's his face?
Yes, Carmack.
Dr. Carmack. And that's why I don't fuck with nanowalls.
Yes, yes. So the there's nanowall that's not like, why am I losing my words today? It's not operating correctly, okay, people? It's just not operating correctly. And it catches one of the creatures in it.
Your brain or the nanowall?
Both. My brain is a nanowall right now. That's exactly what's happening. But yeah, they capture a creature in the wall. They realize that the creature is Dr. Carmack because it's missing an ear that Dr. Carmack ripped off. And at this point, this is when, I'm just going to sell it and say it, let's refer back to the tagline of this movie,
all hell breaks loose.
Okay, and this is when it happens. You know, now we start seeing that there are more creatures. We start seeing more, I want to say, of the dead scientists.
Scientists, and Goat comes back to life and ends up bashing his own head in.
Yep. We basically have all of the Marines who are like all over the lab and the station, kind of like searching and like clearing the area looking for scientists. And at this point now, I'm going to assume that the transformation of a lot of these quote unquote dead scientists is nearing completion, because now we have multiple attacks on multiple Marines. You've got Destroyer, who like earlier in the scene they had discovered a like prison cell testing lab that was basically a deep hole with like electrified walls. And something attacks Destroyer in there. He gets knocked down there. And he honestly puts up the best hand-to-hand combat fight of the entire movie/game.
The electric cage match.
Yes, electric cage match. It's basically only lit at certain points by electric, like lightning light, okay? And Destroyer's pretty badass. He's very quiet. You think he's like a gentle giant, but he's very not. He grabs like this computer screen monitor, like old school monitor, not like these flat screens that you newfangled kids have in your computer lab.
See, they're gonna make a comeback in 30 years. Yes. That's what this tells me.
Exactly. He grabs these cables. Why there's so many cables plugged into this monitor? And he starts swinging it around, but he's using like the lightning arc off the walls to like locate his enemy, and literally just smacking it into the wall, beating the shit out of it. And then finally, not beating the shit out of it, because he's kicking its ass, but really his main focus is to escape. So he tries to climb up like a bunch of chains, and the monster just ends up grabbing the chain and pulling it and breaking it, and amazingly it just fell. Destroyer falls, he's dead.
Yep.
You know, so we lose Destroyer, we've lost Goat,
and then this is where Portman is up to his shady shit, calling in reinforcements.
And then he gets his ass kicked, because he's hiding. He's pulling a lawyer from Jurassic Park. He goes to the bathroom to hide from the big bad monster and call for help. But big bad monster has other plans. And I'm just going to say, kicks the shit out of
him.
Beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, he definitely does. Yeah.
So that was a quality kill right there. 3-0. for the hell monsters, hell creatures. All right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 3-1, because if you count Goat, who killed himself because he knew what he was turning into.
then we get the big revelation, because we find out that the data that Samantha was sent to retrieve was all about the human trial mutations, where they're doing the studies done on prisoners sentenced to death.
Yes.
And so, of course, we find out that a bunch of these monsters, as humans, or as, you know, non-mutated people, were the worst of the worst already.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that they found Dr. Erskine's super soldier serum.
Yes.
Erskine.
Whatever. Erskine.
Yeah. If you've seen Captain America: The First Avenger, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so the 24th chromosome is what they discovered in that, in the skeletons that they discovered in that dig that killed their parents. They find the bodies. They've got a 24th chromosome. It's found that they are super smart, super fast, super healthy, super healers, super strong. They're super people, okay? And so somehow Samantha Grimm is smart enough to isolate the 24th chromosome and turn it into a serum that they've been testing, and she doesn't know about the human trials, which I'm calling bullshit. Because in every sense of the scientific, every moment that science has ever been around, they've always gone straight to human testing when it comes to immortality, super serums, cures. And you know what happens? That's right. It fucks shit up. People turn into monsters. I Am Legend. Doom.
Doom, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. All this shit.
28 days later.
Thank you. So, 28 days later was different, because they were trying to figure out rage. They were studying rage.
Right.
Yeah. Wild. Wild rage.
Apparently they want to do it 28 years later.
I heard about that.
That would be rad.
Would it?
Good idea. Why not? I mean, hey, if you're going to make a movie like Boyhood, where you'd make it over 10 years, you know?
That's true.
Why not make it? If any sequel should have, like, a comeback out of all these reboots that are being done these days.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. But only if it's released 28 years later.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But it's coming up on 28 years.
There we go.
Yeah.
You got a timeline. Let's see. Yeah, they're attacked by the creature again. They start tracking them down, start trying to kill them all.
But the creature ends up getting through to Earth eventually.
Yes, yes. So the whole plan, and they gave Pinky a grenade, and he was supposed to blow up blow up the Ark and stop. So the creatures are going wild. The undead scientists are killing everybody. Yeah, and then they were trying to stop these hell creatures from getting through the Ark. Pinky was supposed to stop them. All these people were supposed to stop them. Nobody stopped them. The creatures get through the portal to Earth. Now, here's my question. I'm starting to forget, because I remember that there was the fight between Grimm and Sarge. Was that on Mars when he shot him?
No, that's on Earth. They go back to Earth, and they're going around shooting everyone in the head.
Yeah, so you get all the survivors of the squad. You're right, 100%. Sean is right. They follow the creature back through the portal, through the Ark.
The kid refuses to shoot the family that's hiding in the closet. Yeah.
And we see, we slowly see throughout this movie, we see that Sarge is losing his shit. Like, he is going crazy. You know, he's killing people. He's not taking any prisoners. Like, literally, seriously. He's
losing his fucking mind.
He's losing his mind because of everything that's going on. And like I said, at that point, you know, when they go through the portal, they don't know who's infected and who's not. So they're trying to make sure that whatever this infection is, it does not leave this Ark facility. And so he sends out his Marines to go and start killing everybody in this facility. Like Sean said, the kid comes back after he finds a full storeroom of, like, innocent civilians that aren't infected, and kills the kid, which is a very shocking and heartbreaking scene.
Yeah. Because we do find out from Samantha at this point that, wait, some people are immune to this.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does the tongue trick, the tongue test.
Yeah.
It sounds fun, but it's not. It's kind of gross.
So, yeah. So you don't need to shoot all of them.
Mm-hmm.
God, calm down, Sarge. But no, mutinous insurrection is punishable by death. Sarge is furious. He's losing his fucking mind.
Yes.
And
Semper Fi, motherfucker. Faithful to the core, John.
I totally forgot that The Rock was the bad guy in this movie. Yeah. So I was definitely surprised by it, which I found pleasant, because it's like, okay, you know, back then I'm sure everyone was furious that he had the heel turn and everything like that. But I look at it and go, I'm a little tired of Goody Two Shoes Rock.
Yes.
and Black Adam was not bad guy enough because of what a terrible movie that was. So, you know, I'm okay with, let's see Rock do the bad guy. I'm okay with that.
He does it well. I will say this, because he's like, he does come off as a straight up asshole in this movie, and I think that he especially for an early Rock vehicle such as this, like, he does a great job of showing us his acting chops early in his career.
Yeah. And with the classic, you know, departing line of, I'm not supposed to die, as he's getting dragged away.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets, you know, he gets dragged away. He's supposed to, you know, but like, I'm starting, because like at that point I'm just like, ooh, I'm into the action, so I start losing kind of like focus on the timeline of everything.
Yeah, but basically at this point everyone dies except Reaper and Samantha, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, no one else survives the onslaught, and so Sam injects John with some of the C24.
Let's not forget that so The Rock shoots him.
Yeah, right. So he's also like dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's dying on the floor, and the only way to survive, to save him, Samantha says, okay, we're going to inject you with this, you know, 24th chromosome serum, and I believe that you will become basically immortal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he is hesitant because, you know, he doesn't think that he's a good person. He thinks he's done some pretty fucking horrible things, and she believes that he is still...
We're
innately
not
good.
We're not worthy.
So she injects him, and then I guess she thinks he dies, so she runs off. And this is obviously, you know, like all these dead scientists are starting to come back from the dead and attack. But that's when he wakes up.
It happens.
The greatest moment in this movie occurs when Carl Urban wakes up from his death slumber transition phase.
Yep.
All right. And we get a first person hardcore Henry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, first person shooter.
First person shooter.
Yeah.
Like good 5 minute scene of him just running through the hallways, pulling a Doom Slayer. He basically at this point has become the Doom Slayer. He's shooting pipes. He's, you know, ripping people in half. He's like, you know, cutting them up, everything. And it's amazing to see. It's probably one of the best. Like, if you are just a nerd, it is one of the coolest scenes that you'll see in a movie like this. So this scene alone makes it movie worth watching, you know. Yeah. It's like an unforgettable scene, to be honest.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. This is one that they definitely got right, where it's like, this is worth the price of admission right here, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, video game month, we have seen some garbage. Where you get the a little bit of fan service here and a little bit of fan service there, but none of it is done as well as it is done in this movie.
Yes.
Between the BFG just melting a hole through the fucking wall.
Yeah.
Or this first person shooter scene, it's like they gave Doom people what they wanted, and the rest of it is an okay horror movie.
The only thing that I wish that we had was like some kind of like Doom, like, because like the Doom Slayer, in essence, is like a space marine, you know. So that's where the whole marine thing came from. But there's no, like, I don't know if you could see behind me, like, there's a Doom Slayer right here. He has his like armor, which is like his calling card, you know.
Okay.
And That's the only thing I would say, like, that I kind of missed out of this. But yeah, so he does his first person shooter view. He's getting to the I guess the where the doors are to leave the facility.
Chainsawing fucking animals.
Chainsawing thing. Like that was a great one also. Yeah. He finds an unconscious Sam with Sarge. He apparently has her and he's alive. And he's obviously going through some things, some changes. Yeah, you know.
Things. He's feeling things he's not used to feeling.
Exactly. Becoming a man, The Rock.
Yeah, and he's holding Sam hostage because the quarantine is about to end, and he just wants to get the fuck out of there once the quarantine ends and the lockdown is over. But we get Sarge versus Reaper.
Yes, this is the hand-to-hand, hand-to, like, rock, hand-to-metal bar, like, scene that I was talking about earlier. Which, it's a pretty fun fight to watch, you know? You get two guys that are just... Again, this is two superhumans going at it in like a little arena fight, which is fun. I think it's a really fun thing to watch. You get them because they both are like really quick at healing. They can get cut up. You know, at one point, Carl Urban, you know, Reaper gets a knife through his hand and he's like he just pulls it out and it just like heals almost instantly. I thought that some of the little things they threw into this fight were pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But ultimately, Paper beats Rock because he gets
good one.
He gets covered up in the arc, and they end up like cutting him in half or whatever. Or, they send him through and then send a bomb through behind him.
Yes, so he like jump kicks him into the arc train. Which is funny because like I just remember the arc travel in the first part of the movie just being very like slow and kind of it felt like arduous and sickening. And this one was just like instantaneous. And then he throws a grenade through and there's like, it just like starts flying out of it. Like it just went into it. Yeah. So to me, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know how physics work with this arc travel, you know, but apparently it does fine, you know, and, you know, Sarge gets a bomb in the face and then we get, it's like the weirdest kind of outro to a film.
The very heavy metal credits.
The very heavy metal credits, but it's just like, it's also... Like a inner monologue by Reaper as he's taking her up the elevator.
Yeah. Well, it opens with a monologue.
Yeah. True. True.
In the year 2026. The major heavy metal credits with the video game looking stuff. It's like, okay, well, I guess why not?
I'm gonna ask this because I didn't think to watch again. Was there a post credit scene?
No.
Okay.
No, there was not. There was not. You know what else there was none of, though?
Quality?
Sponsors.
Spot? Oh!
Yeah.
There was no sponsors? So, I mean,
tagging on to the end here, I think it's time for Sponsorship Corner! On the lookout for product placements in movies this week. Yeah, Doom is brought to you by nothing. Like, I couldn't find a label on the monitors. I couldn't find it. Yeah. So I don't know, the BFG maybe.
There you go.
There.
It's brought to you by the BFG, gratuitous violence,
and the 24th chromosome.
And the 24th chromosome.
And this has been Sponsorship Corner. And that is Doom, I guess, yeah. Now, Aaron, on IMDb, it scored a 5.2 out of 10, has a Metascore of 34, on Rotten Tomatoes, 18% on the tomato meter, yeesh, but an audience rating of 34, so the audience likes it as much as the Metascore on IMDb. But, Aaron, those are just numbers like a BFG that misses you but goes through every wall behind you. Hit us with some reviews.
Oh, God, you kidding me with that one. Seamus G gave this movie 2 out of 5 stars. Clearly, he wasn't that happy with it. He wasn't completely disappointed, but he had to say this. It was okay. I couldn't see anything, really. Also, what happened to the part where demons invade the Mars base? This turned into a zombie movie. This gives Doom 3 vibes. I don't like the part where with the arc thing. The first person part was okay. To the point. Thank you, Seamus G. There's no shame in his game. Nice. Greg H. gave this 5 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
And I'm going to read the first part of it, but he said, this is literally one of my favorite movies of all time. Thanks, Greg. The acting and actor choice is solid. The monsters look scary and real. Nothing looks CGI, and when they shoot their weapons, it looks real. Super badass movie that no one seems to like it or take serious. The film is based on partial truth. And I'm going to leave you... I'm going to leave you with that. Clearly, this is an educated man who knows exactly what he's talking about. And also, when he graduates the 11th grade, I look forward to what else he decides to review. Now, stunningly enough, my good friend over on Rotten Tomatoes, Jord L., gave Doom half a star.
Only. Okay.
Only half a star. And he said, and it's very to the point, one-line review. Seriously, the movie doesn't need that much of a review. Shut it.
That really doesn't tell me much. I mean,
it doesn't tell you much, but I did kind of enjoy that review.
Yeah, but if you're going to give it half a star, I mean, you know, like, back it up.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you don't have to go on for pages, but come up with something really strong.
Now, this is the one that I want to wrap up on. And this is from Nodlimax on IMDb. It's a 6 out of 10 review. So, pretty close to right down the middle.
Okay,
but the reason this one caught my attention was because it says, this is one of my guilty pleasures. That's what it's titled. This is one of my guilty pleasures. So okay. I feel like Nodlimax.
Kindred spirit, right off the bat, yeah.
Exactly, thank you.
Yeah.
So they say, would I call Doom a good movie? Not really. Do I still enjoy it? Yes. For me, the interaction between the actors is working pretty well, and the movie delivers something resembling the game Doom in terms of scenario. We have some of the monsters that can be found in the game, even though they're not really demons, but something else. In addition, the action scenes are pretty entertaining, and especially the first-person shooter-style scene is very well done. Does the movie still have problems? Definitely. The characters themselves are rather stupid in their behavior and overall pretty flat. The story writing as well is not great. Still, watching Carl Urban and The Rock going at each other is pretty fun. That right there is the perfect review. I think the most perfect to the point review of this movie that we could get.
Yeah.
It hits every point that you need to know about this film.
Fair enough. Yeah, Doom is one that, I mean, I look at this movie and just wonder, would it have been different if it wasn't called Doom? Like, it's, you know, like, is it pigeonholed? Like, is it made fun of because of the fact that it's based on the video game Doom? Because look at how successful the Resident Evil franchise has been. Is it high quality art? No. Do I still watch every single fucking one of them? Yes.
So none of them make sense.
Yeah.
None of them make sense.
None
Not
of them
a single
do.
Fucking one of them. Like, the first one was cool, and then they just go batshit off the wall crazy after the first one. I'm talking all the ones with Mia Jovovich, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just, this is the same thing. This could have been Resident Evil, but it wasn't. But why not? Why did it get such a bad name?
I feel like over this month, the thing that we've said kind of consistently is that each of these movies was really meant to be something else.
Yeah.
You know, Street Fighter was probably something else.
Man, well, now, what I'm wondering, is it because I am not as familiar with the game that I look at this movie and go, yeah, okay, it's a fun creature movie, it's a good horror movie, it's aliens with The Rock, it's not bad, what's wrong with it? But does it have such a bad name because it's disrespectful to the lore of Doom that I do not know about? Like,
I don't think so. I just think that this movie kind of, so I feel like this movie came out at a time, like, this again, 2005,
mm-hmm.
where we weren't really very accepting. Like nerd movies was still kind of like a new concept, to be honest, as far as like hitting mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, I think also the fact that probably around that time, a lot of movies that were like kind of created by WWE and some of these were a lot of like B movie flicks as well. Yeah. And so it probably wasn't marketed correct. It probably wasn't, you know, marketed to the right audience. It was probably, you know, people saw The Rock. They're like, oh, The Rock. It's a, you know, it's going to have like a cool like wrestling or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, it's something, it's not gonna be great, but it'll be fun. So you didn't really probably have a lot of people taking this movie serious. Not that they needed to take it serious, but probably a little bit more serious than it was, because it was only 1.3 million from breaking even. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I just think that this might have been a marketing problem.
That's quite possible. Yeah. I don't know. But it seems like, for some reason, it just seems like Doom is a movie you're supposed to laugh at. And it's like, no, it's a decent action flick. What's wrong with Doom? Is it great? No. But what's wrong with Doom? Yeah.
So I was at Roger Ebert, when he saw this movie and reviewed it, said Doom is like some kid came over and is using your computer and won't let you play. And then John Carmack, who's actually the co-founder of ID Software and co-creator of Doom, he spoke favorably of this film and said, I liked it. Nobody expects a video game movie to be Oscar material, but I thought it was a solid action movie with lots of fun nods to the gaming community. You know, in 2009, Dwayne Johnson described the film as an example of trying and failing to do a good video game adaptation. And that is what cautionary tale of what not to do. So
he should be the expert in cautionary tale of what not to do these days.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. He's for someone that's supposed to have as much cachet as he does, he doesn't seem to. He doesn't make very good things.
So Rosamund Pike. Actually, here's a point where I respect her. She said, this is actually only 2 years ago, she expressed that she was embarrassed because, and she feels like she's part, like she said, I feel partly to blame in the respect because I think I failed just through ignorance and innocence to understand, to fully get a picture of what Doom meant to fans at that point. I wasn't a gamer. I didn't understand. If I knew what I knew now, I would have dived right into all of that and got fully immersed in it like I do now. I just didn't understand, and I feel embarrassed, really. So she kind of takes blame for the movie not doing well because she didn't immerse herself and understand what Doom was. So that sounds like, I mean, to be honest, that sounds like a lot of people who worked on this film.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you hope that your superhero actors have at least picked up one comic book.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that actors these days are learning a lot from situations like this and Super Mario Brothers and some of the older superhero films, and they are getting, I mean, because you hear about, like, Henry Cavill. You know, Henry Cavill's a huge nerd. He is a huge nerd, and he dives into hard what he plays, like The Witcher. They're saying that one of the reasons that he was replaced was because they just were tired of working with him because he was so demanding when it came to actually being, like, close to the source material.
You know
he's supposed to be working on a Warhammer film, and they're saying that he is like diving headfirst into like Warhammer lore to make sure that this thing is going correctly. So I respect that. Some people say he's a bit of an asshole. I think that, you know, he's just trying to do the fans correct.
Don't fuck it up. That's what you hear a lot, is don't fuck it up. And some some universes that may be named after a capital of the U.S. are, anyway.
Oh, yeah. It took me a second. I got it.
I'm not working. I was trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not be slanderous. Yeah, no, the DC universe is one where they could learn a thing or two about, getting it right, but other places have gotten it right. And so, yes, I do respect someone that wants to get it right.
Correct.
Yeah. But, yeah, we have seen some weird stuff this month.
Good stuff, though.
This feels closest to getting it right, though, out of everything that we saw.
It really does. And it only took another 11 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, on this viewing of Doom, I mean, you still love it. You're still just gonna
Doom? I would actually watch it again. I would go back. Like, this is, again, this is one of those movies. It's a guilty pleasure. It is a background movie. I could put it on when I'm playing video games. I could put it on when I'm vacuuming the house. I could put it on when I'm doing dishes or folding laundry. This is one that I don't have to pay attention to, but I visually enjoy. And then when I catch the parts that I like, I still enjoy those.
And you're probably just every time just mesmerized by the first person shooter.
Absolutely. Scene. Absolutely.
Like, phones down right at that moment. Yeah. And for me, it's, yeah, I watched it a couple times when I was younger, when it first came out, and yeah, I enjoyed watching it again. It's not bad. It's, you get what you get with Doom, but
exactly.
Whatever. Exactly. It was a fun time. It was a fun trip down memory lane. Right on. So there we go. That is Doom. That's our show for the week. If you like that show, tell people. That's all you got to do. Tell people. Let people know about the show. Help build the audience. Get more ear holes filled with our dulcet tones. Or if you want to, be even more of a help, go over to a podcast app and give us some stars and a review. Help stars. Drive us up some stars. Help the reviews do their algorithm-y dances and help move us up charts and all that sort of stuff. Get us noticed. Or if you want to be a financial supporter of the show, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. Become an executive producer, and you get a shout out on the show like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour podcast.
If you'd like to contact or donate to the show, you can email us at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media at IUsedToLikeThisOne on Instagram, or for Twitter, just IUsedToLikeThisOne with numbers instead of words because of the character limit.
Instead of words.
On social media, you'll get the heads up on what our next movies are. And just, you can just check out some funny as hell memes.
I enjoy my memes. My memes? My, what? What am I memes. Saying now?
My memes. Memes.
My memes. My fiance likes to say memes. And every time she's mem. Meme? Meme. Mem? Meme. And
mem.
I don't know. It's like the GIF, but it's like, but I've never heard mem, so it's not like the GIF. Anyway, I Used to Like This One is hosted by and produced by Sean Wells and Aaron Knowles. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. If you would like to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. And Aaron, plug your own shit.
You can find me on the Oblivion Bar podcast, which you can find at OblivionBarPod.com, at Oblivion Bar Pod on all socials, and then Oblivion Bar Podcast, and pretty much anywhere that you can find podcasts just like this one. And then, if you want to support my nonprofit, if you feel like supporting some veterans, some service members, and their families, check out at Shred the Stress, which is my nonprofit that I use to help the mental health of the military community.
Right on. So we are done with video game month. We're going into our weird science month, our comedy science month. I'm excited about this one.
Science so bad it's funny.
Science, yes. So first up, we got a classic. I'm excited for this one. This is one that was on my list way back when I first started this show. I'm like, this is one that I want to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so niche, I think. I feel like it's niche.
It is, very much so. It's very niche to the point where it's an unknown sleeper hit.
Yeah. But yeah, what do we got? What do we got? I'm speaking like that now.
Stay tuned?
What do we have? We have Stay Tuned.
Yeah.
John Ritter classic.
Yes. And that guy, he's just... He is in everything in that decade.
Sucked into a TV.
Yeah.
So excited for this one. I can't wait. So our weird science month starts with a magical television transportation system going on. I don't know. Science. science stuff, science words.
Science. Bill Nye.
Oh, he's a legend. Well, there we go. Thank you for listening. I mean, we talked about LeVar Burton. I mean, got to give it up to Bill Nye for science. Got to give it up to Bob Ross for art. Got to give it up.
Who was the rat guy, though? Beekman. Beekman's World?
Beekman's World. Oh,
he had a rat assistant.
Yeah. Who were the ones with the Pratt Brothers? They had Zaboomafoo or whatever.
Zaboomafoo.
I'm a little old for that one, but my little brother was into it. Anyway, thanks for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at Stay Tuned. Wow, that sounds weird saying it like that. When we look at, Stay Tuned.
Stay Tuned for Stay Tuned.
Stay Tuned for Stay Tuned on I Used to Like This One.
Doom. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
I just realized I didn't take like a sip of beverage. I usually have a sip of beverage. Gotta wet that whistle before I do my own. All right. Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where